97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present Today's Business with Sharon Hill. Listen as Sharon Hill discusses trending topics in today's business world with entrepreneurs and leaders in the community and what they're doing to provide innovation and guidance for success. Find this and all episodes at WCHL's chapelboro.com. Now, Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thank you for tuning in today. This is a special edition of Today's Business. My guest today is Mr. Justin Van Cleek, president of Triangle Chance for All. Thank you so much for joining me, Justin.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited
to
be here.
Thank you. The reason I say special edition is because you're a nonprofit organization, correct?
Yes. Triangle Chance for All is a nonprofit. We've been a nonprofit in North Carolina since March of 2014.
Perfect. Tell us what you do, please, Justin.
Yeah, definitely. So Triangle Chance for All, our mission is to provide or secure a permanent sanctuary to rescued farmed animals in the Triangle area of North Carolina. And along with that, to help decrease the demand for farmed animals and animal products, we also provide education and guidance on a vegan lifestyle. So that means a lifestyle that does not involve use of any animal products whatsoever.
What made you decide to start this? Is it a foundation, organization, nonprofit? Mm-hmm. What made you decide to start it?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit organization. So our mission is a charitable one. We're not seeking to profit off of it. None of our board of directors or anybody involved with the organization is making money off of this. It all goes directly back into care for the animals and also to our educational program, which I can talk a little bit more about later, but we're very, very active in terms of education along with our work with the animals. So my wife, Rosemary, and I founded Triangle Chance for All. We're both very strong ethical vegans. I've been vegan since March 1999, so over 15 years. So for me, as well as for her, you know, we're very concerned about the well-being of non-human animals. And we also do a lot of animal rescue ourselves. So we've had cats and dogs and rabbits at our house. And but along with that, being vegan, we're always very sensitive to the plight of farmed animals in our modern agricultural industrial system. So what we started to recognize that there was this great need for providing rescue and care for farmed animals when we started to see goats and chickens and other animals coming into local shelters.
Oh.
Yeah. And so it was really interesting because we found out it kind of started when there was a goat at the shelter in Gaston County. And we saw her, she was a white goat, very, very pretty, but she actually had been found wandering around in Gaston County with her mouth duct taped closed.
No.
Yeah. So she was obviously coming from a very, very bad situation. We have no idea what her history was. But anyway, we saw her come up on the shelter page, just happening to check the page looking for what cats and dogs they had available. And we started to get concerned about what would happen to her because, you know, the way we looked at it is that she had managed to get out of the food system. So she was now in a situation where she had the chance to live a better life and to not be someone's meat, someone's, you know, dairy goat, whatever, not be used for any purpose. But her future was still very uncertain. So we looked into it and we found out about the auction laws in North Carolina. They're pretty antiquated laws, but basically says that quote-unquote livestock animals have to be held by some county shelters and auctioned off. So when we found out about that, we started following up a little bit more and learning about what the situation was for farmed animals in North Carolina, and especially in the Triangle area. And we discovered that a lot of county shelters get in farmed animals from time to time, whether they be strays, owner surrenders, abuse cases, a variety of different ways. And we recognized that this was an opportunity for us to give them a better future by working to rescue them. Our initial business model, to put it in terms you might recognize, was to rescue these animals and raise funds or, you know, have funds on hand to be able to rescue and care for them, and then to place them in other sanctuaries in the region or in the, you know, on the East Coast, because we had just moved down to Chapel Hill from Virginia back in December of 2013, and we have 3 acres out in the county west of Chapel Hill, and so you know we're not really thinking about ourselves as a typical farm sanctuary. Most farm sanctuaries are 20 acres, 100 acres, 400 acres.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all, most of them are very, very big. So for us, it was not the first thing we thought about that, okay, well, we can provide a sanctuary where we are for these rescued animals. Instead, we were thinking we can rescue them and then place them in other situations. That was the model that we used for Bubba the Ram.
Bubba the Ram.
Yeah, Bubba the Ram. I'm not sure if you remember him, but he was a feral ram who was running around downtown Durham for a few months last year into the summer and into the fall.
Okay.
He eluded deputies. He was out and about in Durham breaking windows and doors for about 4 months. He was a pretty big celebrity, but we raised funds to actually get him from auction that Durham County held, and we managed to get him, and we then placed him with Red Dog Farm Animal Rescue Network, which is in Greensboro. So then after those initial rescue efforts that we did, we managed to work with Orange County Shelter to take in 2 hens who they had found wandering around in the winter cold.
Hens?
Yeah, two hens who were just wandering around in the Chapel Hill area. And we took them in with the idea that we would do the same thing we had done before, which would be find a placement for them and deliver them to the sanctuary, and that would be the end of our relationship. But fortunately enough, the winter snowstorm meant that we could not travel with them. And getting to know them over the course of a couple of days, we fell absolutely in love with them. And
great.
Yeah, they were our first sanctuary residents. Their names are Clementine and Amandine. They're 2 buff Orpington hens, 2 of the best people I've ever met in my life. Absolutely love them. But they were really the opportunity for us to rethink the idea of what Triangle Chance for All would be and what it could be.
Right.
So what we did was we had, you know, started to put together a board of friends who were also, like us, ethical vegans. And we started to kind of rethink what we were capable of and what we had, what resources we had, instead of what resources we thought we would need to, you know, provide care to our rescues.
Let me interrupt you at this point, uh-huh. Justin. For our last 30 seconds, I need just your contact information.
Yeah.
And when we come back, then I want to know how people can help you with your organization.
Sure.
So give us your contact information.
Yeah, so I can be reached again. My name is Justin Van Cleek. You can find us on Facebook at Triangle Chance for All. Our website is trianglechanceforall.org. And you can also reach me via email at trianglechanceforall@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Please hold that thought before I cut you off, because we're going to get back to it in our next session, okay?
Sure.
Thank you. You're listening to a special edition of Today's Business. My guest today is Mr. Justin Van Cleek, president of Triangle Chance for All. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
We now return to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM. WCHL, Today's Business, focusing on business, innovation, and success right here in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community. Once again, your host, Sharon Hill.
We're back with a special edition of Today's Business. My guest today is Mr. Justin Van Cleek, president of Triangle Chance for All. This is a special edition because Mr. Van Cleek runs a nonprofit, Triangle Chance for All. Justin, tell us about the model of your sanctuary.
Yeah, thanks, Sharon. So our model of sanctuary is actually what we call a micro-sanctuary. So typically, farms and farm sanctuaries that most people are aware of are very large, 20 acres, 100 acres, 400 acres with hundreds of animals, and somewhere kind of far away out in the country that you have to maybe take a weekend trip to go see. But we are, as I said earlier in the show, when we started actually interacting with the animals, we felt a great imperative to provide them with lifetime care. So that meant rethinking that whole model of sanctuary that most of us are used to. And so that was when we came up with the idea of micro sanctuary. We live on 3 acres. Most of our property is wooded. So we do not have rolling pastures and, you know, fields of grain and all that sort
of stuff. I was envisioning.
Yeah, but that's not what we are. So we really are talking a lot about that micro sanctuary concept because we want to try to inspire other people to think about themselves as potential rescuers and caregivers for animals. I like to call it a populist approach to farm sanctuary, because we want other people to do it. We do not want other people to see us as kind of the only people that are you know, rescuing and providing sanctuary
animals. That was one of my questions. Are you the only ones doing this?
No. There are lots of farm sanctuaries around the country, around the world.
Okay.
Many in the United States, many in Europe. They're kind of popping up all over. They're becoming very popular, but they are all more or less follow that same model of, you know, get 20 acres, get 30 acres, and get a few hundred animals, and that is the way it goes, which is fine.
You're right.
There's nothing wrong with that, because these places provide wonderful homes to animals who would otherwise be killed for food, or, you know, exploited for eggs for the entirety of their lives and then killed long before their natural lifespans are over. So I'm very, very much applaud everyone who's doing vegan sanctuaries, because they're desperately needed.
Right.
But what we would like to try to do is to provide more people inspiration and a model for a DIY approach to sanctuary.
Okay.
Now, that always has to be done responsibly. I mean, our focus should always be on the well-being of the animals, not on just, I really like chickens, I want to have chickens in my backyard. And I should emphasize as well that what we're talking about when we talk about sanctuary is a vegan sanctuary. So not rescuing chickens and using their eggs, because to rescue, quote unquote, a chicken and then continue using her for food is not really a sanctuary. It's not safety from that treatment as a food machine.
Okay.
So that is why the veganism is really crucial there, because what we want to happen is we want people to make these direct relationships with farmed animals. And, you know, my experience as a vegan of, like I said, 15 years has been that interacting with these farmed animals in a way that is based on respect and care and not on one of what can you give me that I can put in my body. One, it changes that dynamic completely. And two, it is such an eye-opening experience, because it really makes you see that these animals that we usually think of as aggregates and abstracts, you know, we think of beef, we think of pork, we think of chicken as this, you know, product in a package. We think of eggs as these things that come in nice little boxes in the grocery store. What we do not think about is the individuality of the animals who provide that food to us. And so once you start to recognize that each of those billions of chickens who are killed every year for food, and those billions more chickens who are kept in cages or kept in backyards only for the purpose of providing eggs, that each one of them are very unique, socially interactive, just completely fascinating individuals with the most amazing personalities, I think it makes you rethink what your food choices are and what your lifestyle choices are.
Yes.
And we're trying to really bring that message of respect and compassion and consideration to all animals. Most people can very easily connect with the idea that dogs have individual personalities,
right,
or cats have individual personalities.
Yes.
But a chicken and a rooster and a pig and a goat, there's no difference. They each have their own unique personalities. The only reason that we never think about that is because we relegate them to this category of livestock, mm-hmm, to this category of food animal whom we never interact with other than when we go grocery shopping.
Well, Justin, how do you know what to feed these animals? Like for chickens, mm-hmm, what do you feed them? How do you know? And how much does that cost you?
That's great. Well, one, they love treats. So we feed them lots of salads and fruit. And we also use scratch grains that we mix ourselves. And we use, you know, an organic layer pellet. So there are lots of resources out there for how to care for animals. Unfortunately, most of those educational resources are coming from the perspective of people who are raising them for food.
Food, right.
So any chicken care book that you get is going to have several chapters on how to kill a chicken.
Oh dear.
You know, and so for us, that's kind of a really disconcerting experience.
Yeah.
So what we're actually trying to do as part of our overall education mission is to, in the future, provide people with information for caring for chickens that is based entirely from a perspective of veganism. So it has nothing to do with what we can do to get them to produce the most eggs.
Right.
It has entirely to do with their individual well-being and long-term health.
What do you do with the eggs then? Do chickens naturally lay eggs?
Yes.
I'm being educated here.
Chickens do unnaturally lay eggs, I should say. The wild ancestors of domesticated chickens lay about 10 to 15 eggs per year. Our modern domesticated chickens lay about 250 to 300 eggs per year.
Oh.
and that's all genetic manipulation by humans over the course of their period. They've been domesticated for thousands of years, but especially in the past 100 years or so, we've really selectively bred them and genetically altered them so that they're literally egg machines. I mean, I hate saying it that way because it really reduces them to, you know, a kind of an essentializing commodity. Approach to yes. what they are, because they're so much more than that. But they're biologically programmed to just make egg after egg after egg, and that takes a huge toll on their body. So to answer your question, what we do with the eggs is we feed them back to the hens.
Oh.
The hens absolutely love them. They're their favorite treat. And what that does is that provides all that calcium, those minerals, those nutrients that are leached from the hens' bodies
yes.
back to them as a nutritious food source. And the reason that is so important is because almost every hen who dies early, which they almost always do, dies because of reproductive system issues.
Isn't that amazing? Justin, we have to take another break.
Yeah, sure.
Please give us your contact information.
Sure, yeah. So you can reach us on Facebook at Triangle Chance for All, and I can be reached by email via trianglechanceforall@gmail.com.
That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Justin, we'll take a break. When we come back, let's hear some more about your fabulous organization. You're listening to WCHL. My guest today on our special edition is Justin Van Cleek, who is the president of Triangle Chance for All. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
We now return to Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Today's Business, focusing on business innovation and success right here in the Chapel Hill Carrboro community. Once again, your host, Sharon Hill.
Thank you so much for staying with us for our special edition of Today's Business. My guest today is Mr. Justin Van Cleek, who is the president of Triangle Chance for All. Justin, how can people engage and find out more about your organization?
Well, we would love to have people engage with us. Our Facebook page is really dynamic. We have lots of engaging content, everything from vegan recipes to information about our residents and our work, classes, lots of things. And so I definitely invite people to come check us out there. Also, too, we are very active in the community because, as I said before, we want to help people transition to a vegan lifestyle so that we can decrease the demand for animal products and thereby decrease the number of farmed animals who need our rescue efforts. Mm-hmm. So ideally, we would like to put ourselves out of business, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Again, because our focus is on the welfare of the animals, not on perpetuating our organization. So we really exist to help individuals who are victims, not to, you know, to make lots of money with donations or fundraising, that sort of thing. So we're really focused on trying to help, as I said, people learn about and transition to a vegan lifestyle. And so we have a very active educational program. So we have regular classes, food events, even bake sales, different ways for people to kind of learn more about, try out a vegan lifestyle, whether that be through a cupcake or a class on vegan bread making or hopefully one day in the future, classes on edible landscaping and veganic gardening.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and we have larger community events from time to time as well, such as film screenings and things like that. So definitely, I would invite people to find us online, and they can check out our class schedule. We also will have volunteer opportunities through our organization, both kind of at the sanctuary and just out in the community at events that we do. So as I said, if people are interested, we would love to engage with them. We are very interested as well as providing guidance and support for people who are trying to transition to a vegan lifestyle. All of our board members are experienced as mentors, vegan mentors with people who are trying that transition. So again, many ways that people can interact with us. We're very small, but we're very passionate.
Sure.
We're very, very energetic. And,
yes.
you know, we really care deeply about improving the lives of farmed animals. So we're making veganism a key part of our mission because we really see the two as connected. That care for the animals right. and helping humans transition to a kinder lifestyle are both, to the one and the other really go hand in hand.
And you're the only one in North Carolina, I assume. You mentioned there's these sanctuaries around the world.
No, actually, there are several in North Carolina.
In North Carolina? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a few out by Asheville.
Okay.
There is another one starting up kind of in our general area. And I think there are some others are scattered around the state. So you can usually find some here or there, some small, some large. It really varies. Okay. But no, if people are interested and they're not in the immediate local area, you know, definitely check out where what sanctuaries are nearby you.
Okay.
Because, you know, you never know who is out there trying to help farmed animals.
Thank you, Justin, so much for taking time to come talking to us today.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You've been listening to a special edition of Today's Business. My guest today has been Mr. Justin Van Cleek, president of Triangle Chance for All. You've been listening to WCHL 97.9 FM, 1360 AM. Thank you so much for listening. That's our show for today.